Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start Dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dudes, dogs, and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gowerd is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gowerd on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gowerd. Loogie. You know, this is the third show that I've done since the Knicks were crowned champions of basketball. Third show. But it's the first show I've done at 7 o'clock at night. And I always feel like, depending on what hour a day you're doing a show, what day of the week you're doing a show, it could be a totally different audience. So for a lot of you out there right now listening to my voice, this is the first time you have heard from Thomas Lou Gowerd after his beloved New York Knicks won an NBA championship. So you haven't gotten my take on it yet. You haven't gotten my reaction on the team winning a championship. If you were listening Saturday, you did. If you were listening on Sunday, you did. But for the new audience tonight, for the audience that hasn't heard me over the last couple days, here is my take and here is my reaction to the Knicks winning a championship. Let's go! Yeah! Yes! Yeah! Yes! Let's go! That's exactly how I sounded on Saturday night. And I'll have what she's having, by the way. And you can tell in my voice that I've been screaming a lot over the last 3 days. But don't you worry. There's plenty of screaming left. There's plenty of celebrating left. And there's plenty more where that came from. But yeah, I'll have what she's having. That was my reaction on Saturday. That's been my reaction as I've been in a euphoric state for the last, what's it been now, 48 hours since the Knicks won a championship? Honestly, I have no idea because, like I said, I've done 13 shows, I think, at this point. So the days and the hours and the minutes and the seconds have all intertwined with each other. But we are on a course to Thursday, a parade down the canyon of heroes. And I first want to start with the emotion, and we'll get to the James Dolan speech. We have the audio. We're going to play it for you. We can't play the audio from the Mikal Bridges live stream today. Too much cursing, but I will kind of talk you through as Mikal Bridges was just wilding out on Instagram Live today. A lot of funny stuff going on. The Knicks are kind of doing the rounds with the media tour. A lot of funny things came from that. So we have funny audio, we have funny reactions, new sound, new stuff for the show tonight. A big Lugowski here on After Hours. But I want to start with the fans first, because to me, it's always about the fans. It's about this city, it's about Knick fans, it's about generations of Knick fans, and what this title means to all of us. 53 years for some, and for others, a lifetime. That's how long we have waited for this moment. That's how long we have waited for a team like this. That's how long we have waited for a superstar like Jalen Brunson. Best player in the NBA, by the way. And the face of the league now. That's how long we've waited for a parade. It's been a long time, not just for the Knicks, but for the four major sports in this town. It's been a long time since we've had a parade. It's a long time since we've honored and celebrated a team going down the canyon of heroes. And this city, which has been through a lot over the last 6 years, needed this because the Knicks unify New York more than any other team in this town, more than any other team in New York. The Knicks are the team that brings us all together. That's why I've been saying I think 3 million bare minimum show up on Thursday. 3 million people, bare minimum. I wouldn't be stunned if 4 or 5 million show up from around the world to celebrate this basketball team because it unifies all of us. And you've heard a lot on this air already, on this great radio station already, emotion, crying, just people giving their testimonies of how they felt when the final buzzer sounded and how they feel about this basketball team. And callers have talked about loved ones that are no longer with us, and I totally understand that. How could you not relate to something like that? Because sports is about family. You know, for the people in our lives, let's just call them, I don't know, our wives and girlfriends. those that don't understand our relationship with sports, they just think, why are you yelling and screaming? Why are you ripping your hair out? Why are you spending all this time and money and energy and passion into something that oftentimes doesn't return the favor? You love the Red Sox. Have they ever loved you back? And the reason we do all of that, it's twofold. One, of course, and I've talked about this before, hope. The hope that one day you could have this moment. There's a lot of people walking around that are my age that hope they could have this feeling with the Mets. And they will, by the way. There are people my age walking around hoping they could have this feeling for the Islanders. And they will, by the way. And for the Jets. And you know what? I'm in a great mood right now. So yes, even Jet fans will have this feeling at some point. So you do it for hope. And you also do it because sports isn't just about the sports. It's about family. It's about, I started watching sports with my dad. I started watching sports with my mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, my aunt and uncle, my brothers and sisters, friends that are more like family to me. That's how you grew up watching sports. And that's the first sort of introduction to sports through a family member. And that's, for most people, how they pick their team. And then, much like geese, you are mated for life with that team. And it reminds you of family, both the ones that are still with us and those that have passed on. That's what sports is about, family. That's why it means so much to us. Because we think about our dad when we watch sports. We think about our mom and our sister and our brother, if you have siblings. I don't, but if you did. You think about those formative years and growing up and being introduced to this great thing that has been introduced to us, sports. Because sports is an escape. For somebody like me, I'm blessed it's become a career. Although at times it still feels like a job. But not when I'm on the air. Other times it does. Okay, can we get back to the fun part of this job? But it's an amazing thing to have in our lives. And when it all comes to a amazing crescendo like this, and you win a championship, and it's with a team that is so loved in this city, and connects with this city better than any team I've seen in my lifetime. And it starts with Jalen Brunson. Obviously, this franchise, the Nick colors, this team, it's in his blood. His father played for the Knicks, and I use that term loosely, and Jalen and Rick would both tell you that. But he was there. He was on the bench. He came in at the very end of the game. And Jalen, obviously, almost like Game of Thrones here, almost like a monarchy, and it's fitting because he's the king, the first of his name. Jalen Brunson understands what this basketball team means to New York. Mikal Bridges, when he wasn't wilding out on Instagram Live today, after the game on Saturday, talked about himself being a diehard sports fan. And a lot of these guys are diehard sports fans. I wish they rooted for better teams, but that's a story for another day. Certainly their taste in football teams leaves a lot to be desired. But Mikal Bridges talked about being a diehard sports fan and understanding, and I love this stuff, when athletes who are making millions of dollars, who you feel like are unrelatable and they don't get the common man and they don't understand the fans or don't care about the fans. For Mikal Bridges to say, I totally get it. I'm a diehard sports fan. I understand what this means, winning a championship. And these guys, these Knick players, they get it. They just get it. And that is appreciated by all of us. Because you never want to feel like they're looking down on you from their ivory tower. That's where you lose the connection. When it feels like they're sports mercenaries, even if you win a title, you don't have that bond. But with this team, you do. It feels like we're all family, we're all friends. And through the power of friendship, this team won a championship. And they did it at times in dominating fashion, at times in historical fashion, at times in comeback fashion, and they are now champions. The Knicks sit on top of the mountain, a place where the national media, the gatekeepers of the league, the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing national media that wants to tell us who the best team is, who the best player is, which team is going to be dynastic, why the Knicks run was all luck, and why they got hot at the right time, and all the buzzwords to discredit what this team has done, and to discredit Jalen Brunson and Mike Brown and so on and so forth. They didn't want to let the Knicks in, and they are going to try to get the Knicks off the mountaintop as soon as humanly possible. Well, I got news for them, and I got news for all the haters out there. The Knicks are not going anywhere anytime soon. As long as Jalen Brunson puts on a Knick uniform, and as long as Leon Rose runs this team, the Knicks are not going anywhere. And as far as I'm concerned, the Eastern Conference runs through New York City for the foreseeable future. So good luck, and the odds makers have already got the Celtics favorite above the Knicks, which is comical. Comical. But that is fuel to the fire of this Knick team. So continue to doubt them. I actually prefer if you did, because I think that especially Brunson uses that as motivation, as fuel to show everybody that has doubted this team and him, to show him what's up. And them, what's up? The Knicks are not going anywhere. If you love the Knicks, get used to this feeling. If you hate the Knicks, get used to this feeling. You know it and I know it. And yeah, I'm touching the money again, but guess what? I touched the money a lot for this championship and they won. And I just see Jalen Brunson as Derek Jeter. That's right. And I see Mike Brown as Joe Torre. That's right. I guess that would make Tibbs Buck Showalter. But there are a lot of parallels there. And I think there are a ton of parallels between Brunson and Jeter. And my hope and my wish and my thoughts and my belief is this team can do what the 90s Yankees did for the city. And if you think I'm nuts, if you think I'm touching the money, if you think I'm being hyperbolic, if you think, oh, can you just enjoy this championship? You're already talking about other championships. Hey, when you're on the mountaintop, if you are in any type of industry where you win an Academy Award, you make it to the top of your profession, you win a championship, do you think the right mentality is to say, I'm good, call it a career? Absolutely not. The Tom Brady's, the Michael Jordan's, the Wayne Gretzky's, the Tiger Woods. We're just talking sports here, but think about any industry. There's titans of that industry. They don't stop at one. They don't stop at one championship. They don't stop at one major accomplishment. They want more than that. That's what makes them different. That's what makes them champions and legends. Oh. Everything I see from Jalen Brunson reminds me of all the people I just mentioned. All of them. He has the same drive that all the guys I just mentioned have. And he is the best player in the league. I would take him over anybody right now. And I said that going into this series. I said, Jalen Brunson's the best player in this series. And Spurs fans came after me. A lot of bookmarks on my tweets. I didn't hear from any of them. I didn't even get a congratulations after the series, but that's fine. It's all good. We know how the internet works. When you're wrong, they let you know about it. When you're right, they go into hiding. And Wemby, please. I mean, if anybody has lost more stock than him, be careful who you want to anoint the face of the league. Because one thing you can't measure is somebody's heart, which it doesn't seem like Wemby has any. You can't measure their maturity, which Wemby has none. And you can't measure their sportsmanship, which he has zero. So you want to make him the poster child of the league, the face of the league. You want to say he's going to be the guy that carries this NBA into the new generation or the new era. Well, the way I see it, Jalen Brunson is going to do that, not Wemby. Now, if Wemby can grow up, put on some weight, and stop the nonsense next time he is in this situation, which he will be because the team is uber talented. Mark my word, Dylan Harper is going to be the star of that team, not him, not Wemby. That's just the way I feel. Dylan Harper gets it. Wemby doesn't. Wemby could grow up. He could prove all of us wrong and prove a lot of people wrong out there. And he's certainly now has a million detractors because of the way he handled himself. You know, when the Pistons walked off the court and didn't shake hands with the Bulls, hey, the Pistons won back-to-back champions. They were the bad boys. They actually did something in their career. They actually accomplished something. Whether that was right or wrong, and whether or not something MJ said bothered Isaiah Thomas, and obviously that relationship ended up being what it was, you know, ended up being, and Isaiah Thomas not on the Dream Team, et cetera, et cetera. That bad boy Piston team, I want to say earned the right to act like that, but they were back-to-back champions. And they had an image of being the bad boys. What the heck does Wemby have an image of, and what the heck has he ever done besides being anointed before he ever accomplished a damn thing in this league? The Knicks are champions of basketball. The Knicks are the champions of the Eastern Conference. And yet, you look at next year and nobody will pick the Knicks. The Knicks won't be the odds-on favorite to win. And everybody will discredit them going forward because the gatekeepers and the haters, they had no choice to let the Knicks in. They had no choice but to let Jalen Brunson in. But mark my word, as soon as they get an opportunity to throw them out, they will do everything in their power to do so. So that they can usher Wemby in, or the Thunder back in, or Halliburton back in, or the Celtics back in. And that will only add fuel to the fire for Jalen Brunson. Yeah, he's going to enjoy the next couple of days. Yeah, he is smiling right now, although he never smiles. I'm sure he's smiling, but he never smiles in person. He's kind of got the restless you-know-what face going on. But that's just the way he is. I'm sure he's smiling behind scenes. He doesn't want to show you that on camera. Which I get. That's Jeter was like that. He always kind of kept things close to the vest. But you knew a fire was always burning in his belly. And that's what made him dangerous. And Jalen Brunson is going to use all this as more motivation. And this team is going to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate them for the next couple of days. It will culminate at the parade on Thursday down the Canyon of Heroes starting at 10 a.m., and then they'll get the keys to the city, the whole nine. And it'll be a party unlike we've ever seen. In a city known for its partying, it will be the biggest party we've ever seen. 3 to 5 million people, in my estimation, will be there. And it's going to be legitimately off the hook. Do they still say that? I feel like that's a 90s term. It's going to be off the chain. That feels like even more of a 90s chain. It's going to be lit. It's going to be something. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be absolutely... I don't know if Katie bar the door is the right word to use either. That's like a... Tiki uses that word a lot. I think that's a southern thing that they say. I think that means danger's approaching. So nothing like that. But it's going to definitely be fun. It's definitely going to be an awesome time. It's definitely going to be just something that we will never, ever, ever forget in terms of the party, in terms of the celebration, in terms of this basketball team and how we as a city and we as a fan base, for some 53 years in the making and for others a lifetime. And that emotion will come pouring out on Thursday. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Greg is in Long Island here on After Hours. It's Positive Tommy in Prime Time. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Tommy. How are you, bud?
I'm amazing. Hope you're doing the same.
I am. I never believed or had the power of positivity until I heard you say it. And look at the positivity has brought.
A championship
for the Knickerbockers.
Yep, correct.
So I want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Number two, this reminded me of the 94 Rangers, how we united everybody, brought New York together. So let's go Knicks!
Love it, Greg. And I think it's a great comp with the 94 Rangers. And I remember that vividly. I was 8 or 9 years old. I remember the 1940, 1994, and how much that drought ending and that championship finally occurring with the Rangers, how much that meant to Ranger fans, how much it meant to New York City. It was massive. Even as a young lad, I understood the gravity of what that meant. I did. I was able to grasp it. Even though I had only been on the planet for a couple years, I was able to understand what that championship meant and how big it was. because, well, quite frankly, I could do math, and I knew 1940, 1994, that's a very long time. Much like 73 to 26, 2026 to be exact, is a very, very long time. A lifetime too long to wait. No fan base should ever have to wait this long. Shouldn't have to go 50-something years, or like the Cubs did, or like the Red Sox did, or like Cleveland, the Guardians, what they're going through, or what the Rangers, the Texas Rangers had to go through. No franchise should ever have to wait this long, and a fan base should have to wait this long for a championship. What the Jet fan is going through, it's just, it's not fair at times. Sports can be cruel and be unfair. But when it arrives, when you finally get that championship, and all these teams will. The Cubs finally got there. The Red Sox finally got there. The Knicks have finally gotten there. The Rangers finally got there. You're going to at some point get there. Let's go, Mets! The Mets will get there. I don't want to put the Mets in that category because it's only been 40. They haven't gone over 50. I haven't gone over 50. When we're talking about the Cubs and Red Sox and the Knicks and the Rangers, when you start getting north of 50, I think that's kind of that's the round number that I like to look at. When you are 50 and more as far as championship drought, I think that is when you start to get into the category that the Knicks were in, that the Jets are in, that the Cubs are in, that the Guardians are in, that the Red Sox were in. 50 or more. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Matt out on Long Island here on After Hours, Positive Tommy in Prime Time. What's up, Matt?
Let's go, Knicks, baby. Let's go. Question, Tommy.
Yeah.
I'm 29. Now, I've obviously never seen this before in my lifetime. I'm thinking about going to the parade. I took off from work. Should I stay home, watch on the TV? Should I be nuts and go to the parade? I don't know how this works. So I just like show up at Battery Park.
Pretty much.
At like at 6 o'clock in the morning, and just hopefully I'm like there in time to see them and not be all the way in the back of the crowd.
Basically, you may think about any type of, even like New Year's Eve or Thanksgiving Day parade. Get up super early. Take mass transit. Try to get as best a spot as you can. But see, the thing here is, unlike not to take anything away from New Year's Eve or Thanksgiving Day parade or anything like that, but the vibes are going to be so immaculate. So you might not have the best seat in the house, but the vibes are going to be amazing. The scene is going to be amazing. And just to say, Matt, that you were there, you were a part of it, because it is such a monumental type of event and party that you just want to be there. And it doesn't matter where you're sitting, standing, whatever the case may be. You just want to be immersed in that atmosphere.
Gotcha. All right, Matt, I'm going to go. And, man, this is, throughout this run, I always had that pit in my stomach. Oh, no, somebody's going to get hurt. But, no, we stayed healthy. Even the refs screwed us over in every single possible way in this finals. We still came out on top. We beat the Spurs. We beat the refs. And we're going to be back here next year, man. And we're going to win, too.
Love it, Matt, and I will have a prediction later on in the show. And we'll play the audio later as well. I called into Evan and Tiki today because there was a miscarriage of justice going on, no real surprise, from Marash. And I wanted to make sure that the proper audio was played on their show. And we have the audio as well. We'll play it for you later about something that I said on the very last Evan and Tiki that I was a part of back on January 2nd. But later on as well, I will give my prediction for next year, who will be in the finals, who will hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy. That's coming up later here on a Big Lugowski, a 5-hour After Hours. Let's head out to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, I got to give you credit.
Thank you.
I know I bear into you sometimes with some of your predictions, but when you made the comment about that the Knicks were down at 27 and came back, and I listened to you very carefully, and you're very emphatic, and I said, this is not one of his random comments. I think he really believes that they have time, and you broke it down. So I just, as much as sometimes some of your predictions Yeah, if it comes in, you look good. Sometimes I just think they're out of space, but in that particular one,
well, sometimes sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield. And the other night, I was certainly the windshield, and I had a long runway, Rich, as you were listening, as I was doing the show on the air, sort of a watch party during Game 4, and obviously I'm up against the NBA Finals, so it's not like there were calls, but it wasn't like a boatload of calls. So I had the ability to, and plus, you are listening to me watching a game, so you could actually have the experience of watching a game with me and hear me in real time sort of speak it into existence and say, hey, cut it to 20 here, cut it to 15 here. And I'm very much like that when I'm watching a game, especially basketball, because it's a game of runs. And we've seen this Knick team battle back from double-digit leads a lot over the last couple of years. So I had the utmost confidence in them, and I had the utmost sort of non-confidence that the Spurs were going to be able to duplicate that first half. And also, if it got close, I didn't think the Spurs could finish and execute down the stretch. And that ultimately ended up being the thing.
Everything had to go right for the Knicks, obviously. And everything had to go wrong for San Antonio. I mean, they're shooting threes with 12 seconds on the clock. Fox not bringing the ball in the corner. Obviously, there were so many things, but yes, it was a tremendous prediction, and they won it. Real quick with your Mets. You know, I'm a Giant fan, but...
Well, Rich, I love you, but come on, Rich. See, that's... And I love the Mets, but we're talking Knicks here, and the Mets are playing right now. Well, we can maybe touch on the Mets later, but it's we're talking Knicks, we're talking a chance. I could hear Fliegelman literally yelling in my ear when callers do that. Rosenberg's here, so he's half asleep. He's an actual producer. He's more just picking his nose back there, making faces, but Fliegelman would be in my ear right now. Cut him off! Tell him we're not talking Mets!
Did I miss a dump or something?
No. Richie did the old, I want to talk about 16 different topics. There's one topic today, and it's the Knicks. He goes, and then let's move on to your Mets. And I love my Mets, and we're going to talk, but they're playing right now, literally, and we'll get to them later on, perhaps, because it's about the Knicks right now. The Knicks deserve the front and center stage here. It's not about, let's hit on 17 different topics. And I love you, Rich, and I still owe you for the thing and the guy and the place that I'll never forget. Loogie! Cut him off! 888, little behind the curtain there that people don't hear that stuff. Love you, Fleeks. 888-808-1019. What? What? What?
I hate to...
No.
I hate to be
choose
a
your
dark...
words wisely. Choose your words wisely here, because I'm telling you right now, Donnie, you're entering a world of pain. You're entering a world of pain. We haven't worked together in, it feels like, a month.
It is. I tweeted it out. People are telling me that they miss us. The best friends are back.
You opted, I believe, to take off the last time we had a major show, which was last Monday. Knicks are obviously in the finals. I didn't get a call, an email, a text, a tweet, nothing from you. You just no-showed the shift. And now here you are on a very, very big show. We are back together here for the first time in a month. Now, it's only a half hour in, and I'm feeling great. I'm feeling very, very generous. I'm feeling very little tired, I got to be honest, because I've done a bunch of shows here. I haven't got a lot of sleep. So I could be a little bit on edge if you say something here that annoys me, but
sure.
Go ahead.
I think at one point we're going to have to start talking about the weather for Thursday.
I hate you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Robbie in Lennox. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Tommy, how are you? I'm still feeling it. I just wanted to say I was jumping up and down with you and Anthony the other night, and you guys were amazing. Yeah.
Thanks.
And I had the game on. I had you guys on.
Great.
And it was crazy. I know sometimes I wait 2 hours, but I have to tell you, I mean, I took this in with my late friend's son. We were texting back and forth, and he's 17. He's been a Knicks fan since he's 7. So it was amazing. But I wish I could be at the parade on Thursday. But, I mean, I'll be watching it. I know I get the Albany stations up here in the Berkshires, so that'll be fun to watch it. And it's just, I'm so happy for everybody. The veterans here, I mean, I've been calling the station for 39 years, had an award-winning show up here in New England radio. And, in fact, Ralph from Manhattan, but Ralph Romero is my broadcast partner, my former broadcast partner. But anyway, I'm just, like, so ecstatic about this team. And you know what's amazing? This team reminds me so much of the 73 team when I was a kid. They play together. They win together. They're classy.
Yep.
They don't say anything. And Jalen Brunson is the king of New York right now. And I have to give him so much credit. Being a second-round pick, winning a college championship, two college championships, and this Villanova connection. I have to say something about Worldwide West and Leon Rose. They did the most amazing job putting this team together. They weren't tanking. They weren't doing the crap that NBA teams do right now. So I'm just happy as a pig, and you know what, man.
Yeah, 100%, Robbie. Look, this team built the right way. Leon Rose, brick by brick, built the Knicks the right way. And I've called them an island of misfit toys. This guy is too short. This guy's injury prone. This guy's past his prime. This guy's soft. This guy isn't worth 5 first-round picks. This coach can't win the big one. a bunch of misfit toys on an island. That's what the Knicks are. And that group of misfit toys together formed into a great team. You know, forged through playoff disappointment and heartbreak, series losses, gut-wrenching series losses to the Pacers. All of that gave this team the experience and the motivation and wherewithal to go on the run that they went on in 2026. And Jalen Brunson is the king of New York. He is the one true king of New York. I've always stood by his side when it comes to that, that's for sure. When we had a vote here about a year ago, it was right around Fanatics Fest. So at some point in July, we read the results on the air. And we as a radio station, all the hosts, voted for who the king of New York is. And I voted for Brunson. Aaron Judge won in a landslide victory. I wasn't the only one that voted for Jalen Brunson. A few others did, but he didn't get exactly a lot of votes. And now here we are a year later, and there is no vote. And there's not going to be a vote. I don't care what Aaron Judge does. He could be titled something else. Because when you are the best player on the Knicks, when you turn this franchise around, when you are the savior of the Knicks, the team that unifies this city, and you bring home and you win the finals MVP and you have a game five, a series clinching game in the NBA finals, when you drop 45 points and the team scored 94, you scored half their points. You scored half their points, basically. And when you have that type of performance and you are the most clutch player in the fourth quarter, and you bring home a championship for the first time in 53 years, you are the king of New York. There is no more discussion about it. There are no more votes. It's over. It's not a thing anymore in terms of competition. Now everybody else fights for something else, a different title. Because Jalen Brunson will never be dethroned as king. He is the one true king of New York. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Tommy.
Hey.
Jalen Brunson's career, similar to Tom Brady. Brady sitting on the bench, Bledsoe gets knocked out by Mo Lewis, instant stardom. Brunson sitting on the bench in Dallas behind Doncic, plays out his free agency, comes to New York, instant stardom.
Yep.
There's a parallel there.
Yeah.
Did you see the New York Post picture of the whole entire team and all the ancillary personnel and everybody? Well, the most important piece of the whole puzzle is Mike Brown. They had Jalen Brunson last year. They had James Dolan last year. They had Leon Rose last year.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that they didn't win. The guy that they had this year that they didn't have last year that won it was Mike Brown. Mike Brown's all the way in the corner. You can barely see him in the picture. I think that was crazy. That is crazy. So I thought that was funny. You know, another thing? The Knicks have Hartenstein. He leaves, goes to OKC, and immediately wins a championship as the center of a
yes.
championship team.
Yes.
The guy who replaces Hartenstein on the Knicks, who the Knicks have to acquire right after they let Hartenstein go, Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, comes to New York and in his second year wins a championship in New York. I think that's very, very great. I think that's unbelievable.
Well, everybody kind of came out a winner there. The only thing, Richard's doing his own show here. You know, some of the calls, I think if I left the room, they would just talk for six straight hours. I do believe that at some point. I could just leave and they would just can go on and on and on. God bless their souls. I mean, I love it though. Some of our callers, man, I'm serious. If I left the room, they would just continue to talk. And they would just have the same conversation with themselves. Sometimes I feel like they're just having a conversation with themselves, and I'm just sitting here. I'm just like, I could just walk out of the room. Literally for four straight hours. And then finally they'd be like, Tommy, are you listening? Like, we should do that one day. I've actually had this great idea where, and what we could get to Richard's points there at some other time. I love you, Rich. You know that. And I get some fiery responses sometimes out of Rich, but I just let him go there. I had this great idea, and we'll do it in February or July at some point. And that is, I would pretend to be the caller, and the callers would be the hosts. So I would either do it where, hey, call in, you could be the host, or we would call the callers and listeners, and they would be the host, and then they would take me as a caller. So we would go to each individual, and they would act like they're the host, and then I would act like the caller. And then I would channel all our different great callers, because we have so many different types of callers. You know, we have more of our regulars who I think, you know, they're not as nervous. They have more to say at times. Sometimes they do have a one-way conversation with themselves, which is all, it's fine. But and then we sometimes just have people that don't call as frequent. They might ask just a quick question or whatever the case may be. And I will kind of channel all those different callers. That's my idea when things get a little slower. By the way, I've been on the air now since the Knicks have won a championship. This would be five last night, four the other night. This is the 10th hour I've been on the air. Not straight, but 10th hour I've been on the air since the Knicks have won a championship. And I've yet to cry. I've yet to take my pants off. And I've yet to lose my voice. So we're 3 for 3. We're going to try to continue that here on A Big Lugowski. Evan Attiki asked me today if I cried when the Knicks won a championship. I said, well, I didn't say this then, but I'll tell you now, the audience. I've only, now, obviously, for deaths, when people in your family pass away, yes, you cry, for sure. So I've cried at funerals or when I got the news and things of that nature. But outside of that, I've only cried once in my life. And that is when I got the bill for my wedding. And I said, I could have married 3 women for this price. I mean, I only get 1 wife for this. I mean, did we really need a raw bar too? Was that necessary? Was that necessary?
Great raw bar. Great wedding you had. It was wonderful.
Did I ask you for a review? No, you shouldn't have opened your mouth. No, you shouldn't open your mouth because now I'm going to take you to task. Yes, Paul Rosenberg, unfortunately, was invited to my wedding. And this chooch, this guy, he literally, I think it was a check form. But instead of, because, you know, you go to a wedding and you go, you know, you give.
You're my best friend.
Whatever you give. I'm not saying you give $100, but let's say you give 100, 150, 200, 250, 300, whatever it is. But you do a round number. This moron, and he probably already forgot because he has the brain of a gnat, he gave me like $176.45 in a check. What is wrong with you? No, I want to be different. You already are. I didn't need a check from you for $85.43 to realize that you are an odd bird.
I think I did it as the date. I think it was like the date. That was like the gist of it.
I don't even know how to check that. But I don't, maybe that was the case. But I remember you like seeking me out to tell me about this. Oh, I wrote an oddball number on the check.
If I remember correctly, I don't think I gave you a check. I think I actually gave you cash.
Yeah, I think there were coins in the
bank. There were coins in the
bank. Yes, that's what I'm thinking too. Yes, yes. I thought it might, maybe that's why I was like, I think it might have been a check. But I think there was loose change in the envelope.
There was loose change and not the scratch-off ticket. I put loose change in there.
It's like when you're a little kid, you go trick-or-treating, and you ring the doorbell. It's an 80-year-old woman there, and she gives you loose change. She's old. She's confused. She wraps up things in the house and gives it as gifts.
Are you kidding me? I wish I would have known the value of that money. I would have taken it.
What do you mean you would have taken it?
Over candy? Over a Milky Way?
No!
Absolutely!
Wait, the old lady gives you 25 cents? I want a Reese's Pieces.
No, if you get four or five...
What do you mean the value of money? What, are you going to put it in the stock market?
If you get 4 or 5 of those quarters, you can get a big Reese's instead of the little one she's going to give you.
Okay. The whole point of Halloween is for the candy that night to be gluttonous and just eat half the candy, and then daddy's got to eat the rest of it later on that night. It's not about reinvesting the quarters you get to buy a larger candy bar.
It should be.
It shouldn't be.
It should be.
It shouldn't be. By the way.
And frankly, if you agree with me, 888-808-1019.
So this is what I'm thinking. I am having as good a weekend as I can think of when it comes to sports. That's for sure. It's just been an amazing, amazing, amazing couple of days, especially getting to share it with you on this great radio station that I love. The team I love has won a championship, and I got to be the first voice on the air along with Anthony Gallo when that team won a championship. And I've been doing all these shows for the last couple of days celebrating this team. So, sorry, a little agita there. I've been getting agita a little bit lately, so I don't want to like burp on the air, but if I have to, I have to. But that one I was able to kind of, and you didn't notice it. I've not only been able to celebrate this team that I love on this radio station that I love, but I came home the other night, and a giant smile that was already on my face extended across my earlobes into the back of my brain because there was something sitting on my desk or my table, I should say, in the kitchen that warmed the cockles of my heart. And it's something that I had brought up on a show in the last couple weeks. Now, my wife doesn't listen. She has no idea this place exists. She barely knows what I do in my career. So it's not like she heard it. But I guess through husband and wife intuition, she knew that I had mentioned it, and maybe a little birdie told her. But she knew somehow that I had mentioned this, because when I got home, on the table in the kitchen, there was a bag of hot fries. And I am such a huge fan of hot fries. When I was a little kid, whether it was the ice cream man that came, I would buy hot fries, or if we went to the convenience store. And when you're younger, it's not like now where, and you become when you're older, like, ah, what do you want for Christmas? Eh, I don't know. What do you want for your birthday? Eh, I don't know. You know, you don't know how to ask for gifts unless you're a schnorrer and you're like Rosenberg. You just ask him. When the company, hey, can you work on Saturday? Yeah, I have 45 demands. Just work. What do you mean you got demands?
Aren't fries typically hot?
You don't know what hot fries are?
Aren't fries typically hot?
Okay.
Who has a cold fry?
You don't know what hot fries are. You could just say that instead of your failed attempt at humor there.
It's not.
You don't know what hot fries are.
Is it like the hot Cheeto and Takis thing?
Okay. So hot fries were and still are a, I would say almost, they're not necessarily like everybody knows, oh, hot fries, hot fries, hot fries. But they are, if you know, you know. And when I was a kid, I loved it. And like I said, I couldn't just walk out to the store and get it. If the ice cream man came, I had to get money from my parents. But anytime I was able to get my hands on hot fries, oh, and you lick your fingers afterwards because you get the residue on your, oh. And they are, and look, some things claim to be spicy and they're not. These are spicy. The perfect amount of spice. And I hadn't had a bag in a long, long time. And when I walked in after the Knicks had won a championship and I thought it couldn't get any better. And, oh, by the way, I drove home and there was two hot chicks walking across the street just slagging around town at 3 a.m. Where else but New York City? God bless America. It's 3 in the morning and they're just, you know, skipping around the streets. It was amazing. And I'm like, oh, no, that now this really can't get any better. Sydney Sweeney was decked out in Nick gear for the clincher. I'm like, my life right now is perfect. I'm on WFAN the whole nine. And then I get home. And there's a bag of hot fries. And I've already, now, this is where I got it, because if I was younger, I would have mowed through that bag already. Now, watching the weight a little bit, I ate a little bit of it, but I didn't do the entire bag in one sitting. But the cheddar fries, not, I like them, but not so much. They're the same company. But the hot fries, oh, baby, the hot fries. I would eat the ice cream with the hot fries. Rosenberg. Did you get me the Cosmic Brownies yet?
No, I forgot.
Well, okay. So at least you didn't come up with an excuse.
No, I forgot. I was totally honest. But you still did it. What the hell is a hot fry?
No. You got to look it up because you're thinking of it like a French fry. Look it up. Check out the bag and maybe it'll jar your...
Is it like a hot Cheeto?
Pea brain.
It's a hot potato chip, essentially. Is that?
Yeah. Okay. I would say it's got the Cheeto type of stuff because the residue gets on your fingers.
Well, I don't eat cheese, so how can I have
No, but this isn't cheese. This is just hot fries. Just look it up. I don't know what the heck's in it. I just know it's delicious.
It's like a Frito. Is it Frito? Is it like a
no,
ridge?
No, it's not a Frito. It's in the texture of a fry, but it's also... You look, if you know, you know. I'm not going to sit here and explain to you what a... How could you be 40 years old, Rosenberg, and not know what a hot fry is?
Andy Katz.
Do you know who Jennifer Love Hewitt is? Do you know who Pam Anderson is? Yes. Do you know what Celebrity Deathmatch is? Do you know what TRL is? Then you should know this. It's the 90s.
Corn and potato snack. Hot fries.
I'm sorry you're here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I'm so aggravated with you that I'm going to go to break. I'm going to go scream in the hallways because you're pissing me off. And I'm just going to dream about the championship parade and, more importantly, the hot fries. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's a Big Lugowski. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. You'll hear from me a lot. We'll hear from you a lot. We'll also hear from James Dolan. A speech that he gave to this team. We broke it up into a few chunks. We're going to play the audio for you. I have not heard it yet. I've heard about it. I've not heard it yet. You will get my instant reaction to it, my first reaction to it, because I've not listened to it on purpose, because I want to give my, without hearing it, reaction the first time I hear it on the air. So we'll play that for you coming up. We are not going to play the audio of Mikal Bridges' live stream. Just the language in it was, we're not going to play it. But I will tell you some of the things that he said, including, and this ties into the James Dolan speech, something that I think in jest, James Dolan suggested to the players they don't do for 10 weeks. So that's coming up as well. It's a big Lugowski. It's a five-hour after hours. It is Positive Tommy here in primetime. The Knicks are champions of basketball. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. Party is underway here. The party's been going on for the last 48 hours or so. The party will continue up to Thursday, 10 a.m. down the Canyon of Heroes in what I think will be the biggest party we've ever seen in a city known for its partying, a parade that could see, in my prediction, my parade prediction, which I've been studying this parade for weeks now, as you know, I think the baseline, I think the bare minimum is $3 million. I could see upwards of $5 million when you consider all of these things into, and this is where I came up with this number. 53 years. That's a long, long time. So many people are going to want to be a part of that parade. The parade that broke the drought of 53 years. You have generations of fans that have been waiting for this. It's the team that unifies everybody. It's overwhelmingly Knicks fans in terms of basketball. It's not divided like the other sports. People are going to come from, I think, especially when you consider Saturday they won, parade on Thursday. That gives you time if you live outside of New York, but you were a former New Yorker and you know there's a ton of those people. I mean, think about how many people from Boca Raton have booked a flight up to New York. Although I'd imagine those people, well, they're eating lunch right around 11 a.m., so they should be good. Actually, they're eating dinner. They eat breakfast the night before. But there's going to be plenty of people from Florida and from Texas and from Arizona and California and everybody that's moved out of New York that are going to come back here for this parade to be a part of this. And also, when you have a team like the Knicks and a team that has won a championship, you're going to have bandwagon fans. You're going to have people that jumped on for this playoff run. You're going to have people that just want to show up because it's a party, because it's a celebration. They want to be in the in crowd. That's going to be the case as well. So when you couple all of those things together, that's where you come up with 5 million people. Baseline, 3 million. I think bare minimum, 3. And the actual real number in terms of how many people show up, I think will range from 3 to 5 on Thursday. And that will be at 10 a.m. And it will go for a few hours. And then obviously, keys to the city at City Hall. So on and so forth. Your boy will be out there for sure. Won't get a lot of sleep, but that's okay. I haven't been getting a lot of sleep anyway these last few days. And don't plan on sleeping much. How could you sleep, though, too? Even if I wanted to sleep, I can't sleep. And I love the whole, these people that tell you, well, you don't need sleep. Really? Now, old people will tell you that. I shouldn't say old people. People that are been on this planet longer than me say that, oh, you don't need sleep. I need sleep. I would like 7 hours a night, if possible. I don't have human alarms. You may call them children. I call them human alarms. I do have a cat, but he's nocturnal, so he's sleeping in the morning. I have the ability to sleep 7 or 8 hours, and I prefer to get those 7 or 8 hours so I can deliver the type of performance here on the radio that only I can deliver. Otherwise, I'd be like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. I'd be like Ricky Bobby after he won his first race. Ran a good race? Yeah. Car was high? Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And I don't know what to do with my hands. Yeah. So, but this is why I'm shot out of a cannon. I'm well-rested. Although in this situation, I'm not well-rested. I'm just all hopped up on emotion.
You know what the cool kids said? You can sleep when you're dead.
I'm sorry you're here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to join the conversation, you can at 888-808-1019. You could always hit up the show, and by that I mean me on social media. I am at Tommy Lugauer on Twitter. You spell Lugauer, L-U-G-A-U-E-R, on Instagram, Tommy in the Mix. So you can hit me up on both of those social accounts if you want to just send me a question or a comment or a like or whatever the case may be. And if you haven't seen my reaction video with Anthony Gallo, it's all over the internet. It's received rave reviews. It's gotten millions of views, millions of interactions on all of our social media platforms. That's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's Facebook. And you know me, I kind of go through the comments if I'm on the train or whatever. And for the first time ever, 99% of the comments on the video that I'm involved with are positive.
Come on!
Let's go!
Come on!
Come on!
Let's go! Let's go!
That was a little taste of it. I want the whole thing.
Jake the Snake Roberts, I want the whole thing, yeah.
That was about 10 seconds of it. It ran about a minute long. So you can check that out on all the social media accounts. And like I said, it's got rave reviews. There's very few, if any, negative comments about it. So that tells you it resonated with our audience. I think we're up to like 11,000 likes on Instagram. I should, Rosenberg, write this down. Remind me when I go in for my contract negotiations in the fall to tell the architect that I had the most likes on any video that we've had on Instagram of any shows here the entire year. Because no one's going to beat that. Marash could stage all the dropping of the cakes he wants. You know, he could do all of that nonsense. He's not beating my numbers. So remind me to tell the architect that.
I will remind you as long as you put in a good word for me. Thank you.
I will absolutely not do that.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to... What do you mean?
That's what we have for each other. We're best friends.
No. I have to put in good words for me. I gotta get the bag.
No. You're guys. I'm one of your guys.
So that's where if I get the bag and I get more money, I can then give back to you, to Fliegelman, to Connor, so that we can go on that trip that we planned down to Tampa.
This was a slam dunk.
What was a slam dunk?
Oh, you taking us to Tampa. This was a slam dunk. No. And now your team won the championship.
Well, I didn't get any money for that.
Who knows how much you made?
Well, I did make a couple bucks, but you're right.
Let's go here. Now it's an if. But that's very disappointing.
The money I won from this championship or I've received for this championship will pay for my other summer trips. And then at the end of the year, depending on how the year goes, depending how contract negotiations go, there will dictate where we go for the big end of year celebration. Whether it's Tampa, whether it's right here in the greatest city in the world, what happens over the next 6 or 7 months will dictate the location of that celebration. But that's what I mean. If I move up in the world, you guys move up in the world.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And don't forget, just bring a poncho Thursday.
But then, shut up. So at some point, though, you and I are going to have an uncomfortable conversation because at some point, I'm going to have to cut you loose. It's going to be, I know we've been friends for a very long time. We've been coworkers for a very long time. I've been dragging you around as dead weight. At some point, we're going to have an awkward conversation where I'm going to say, it's been great. I wish you the best in your future endeavors, but nothing can last forever. Firing is probably too strong a word. I would say more like I would disown you. Cease to exist in my world. I would just get rid of you. I would erase you from my mind, from my show, from my orbit. You'd be gone.
Can I be honest with you?
No.
I think a lot of your fans would disown you if you ever did that.
No, because I'll get a new Paul
Rosenberg.
I'll get a new Paul Rosenberg.
No one's like me. I'll
dress up my mother. She could play your role.
I think that the majority of people, they love my interactions with you way more than your solo.
You think that people enjoy you and I discussing whatever that we discuss more than me talking on the radio? You really think that?
I think
it's a great part of the show. I think it's very funny. I think it adds to the show, and you bring something to the table that, you know, every producer I work with brings something unique to the table. You bring your quirkiness, uniqueness, and your ability to annoy me in our chemistry, but the idea that this back and forth is better than me.
That's Paul Rosenberg, the glue.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is a Big Lugowski. We'll be on the air for another 4 hours. So if you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. We'll let you hear James Dolan, his speech to all the Knicks players before this championship run started. We'll let you know some of the things that Mikal Bridges had to say on his just crazy Instagram live feed. The entire Knick team will be on Jimmy Fallon tonight. The Wu-Tang Clan will also shout out to them. The Shaolin Land, they will be performing on Jimmy Fallon as well. So there's a lot to do over the next 4 hours as we continue to celebrate the Knicks being champions of the world. The phone number to call, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours, the place you want to be. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan.